the primitive image of God in the Hebrew Scriptures. Who is the image of the invisible God? Colossians 1:15. By Clyde L. Pilkington, Jr., Crest, the Premier, Image of God. While Adam was created in the image of God, Genesis 1:27, it was the last Adam, 1 Corinthians 15:45. Christ, who is the premier image of God, Colossians 1:15. It is Christ who was truly Emmanuel, God with us, Matthew 1:23 and Isaiah 7:14. It is he who is the divine prototype and generator of the new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Colossians 1:15-18, Ephesians 3:9, and New Humanity, Ephesians 2:15 and 4:24. It is he who is leading many sons into glory, Hebrews 2:10. There is a new creation, the primitive past by 2 Corinthians 5:17. An imperfect image of God. What this means is that the old creation and old humanity are an imperfect and distorted image of God, as is God's manifestation of himself until the arrival of Jesus Christ. Therefore, all that is perceived concerning God in the Hebrew Scriptures, commonly referred to as the Old Testament, is at best distorted by this primitive image. Throughout the Old Testament, we are confronted with what we now understand to be a crude and incomplete image of God. It is not until the arrival of Jesus Christ that his image is changed, being brought to a truer representation. So, regardless of what we may see and perceive of God in the Hebrew Scripture, Jesus came to provide an accurate image of God. God is the one who sets all stages, including that of the Old Testament. As with every other aspect of life, Genesis through Malachi are a divine theater, whereupon God is setting the stage for a far-excelling sequel. That humanity was deeply steeped in paganism was God's masterful design. It is from this vantage point that God called and separated Abraham. All throughout the Old Testament, to one degree or another, God acted his way through humanity's pagan perceptions of deity. Example of an early pagan image. By the time Abram shows up on the stage of human history, God had already turned the nations over to heathenism, Romans 1:21 32. Out of this scene, God calls Abram, who would later have his name changed to Abraham, Genesis 17:5. God called him out from his pagan family and nation to be the divine vessel to form a new nation, Israel, to stand in contrast to the rest of the nations. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get yourself out of your country, and from your kindred, and from your father's house, unto a land that I will show you. Genesis 12, 1:1. This getting out by Abram was a crossover journey for him and his descendants, one from paganism to a progressive knowledge and worship of the true God, who would be known as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, which the rest of the nations were without. Ephesians 2:12. This crossover gave him the name Abram the Hebrew, Genesis 14:13. This is the first usage of the word Hebrew, Bri, Ebri, S-E-C, H-5-6-A-Laro, meaning to pass on, he who passed over from beyond, one from beyond. Within this context, we observe an example of an early pagan representation of God in the offering up of Isaac by Abraham. Such an offering was clearly a pagan ritual. God tested Abraham accordingly, Genesis 22:2. And walked him through that ritual and out the other side, falling short of the actual sacrifice, saying, Do not lay your hand on the lad, nor do anything to him. Genesis 22:12. The ritual of child sacrifice has been practiced in pagan worship for thousands of years. One prominent example from the scriptures is the sacrifice of children made to Molech, god of the Ammonites. Yet, under the law of Moses, Israel was prohibited from offering such sacrifices, Leviticus 22:5, and later, Yahweh goes so far to say, They have built high places to Baal, on which to burn their children in the fire, as burnt offerings to Baal, something I have never commanded or mentioned. I never entertained the thought. Jeremiah 19:5. While relatively God may have disguised himself in pagan paradigms, absolutely child sacrifice was something certainly foreign to his nature of love. Here a little, there a little. Throughout the Hebrew scriptures, there were only small glimmers of divine light slowly brought about in the context of the primitive understandings of deity. God played into the hand of Adam's false view of alienation. I was afraid, and I hid myself, Genesis 3:10. So the Hebrew scriptures provide a long, steady framework of contrast with a primitive, dare we be so bold to say, pagan view of God. Therefore, the revelation of God in the Hebrew scriptures often initially looks a lot like that of pagan deities. This is not unlike the current views that Christianity holds. So not only is this the scriptures' own progression of divine revelation, from blurred paganism to the true image of God, Christ, but it is the common development for all humanity in the relative sense. In a subjective way, this is the course of understanding that is ordinary among individuals even today. Our initial understanding and relationship to God is nearly, if not totally, along pagan concepts. It is from this starting place that God calls us out on a progressive journey of divine realization to see him for who he really is. God's predetermined method was that every layer of revelation, ever so gradually and increasingly, superseded the previous, always giving way to an advanced understanding of God. For precept must be on precept, precept on precept, line on line, line on line. Here a little, there a little, Isaiah 28:10. With this progressive revelation, every divine testimony supersedes the previous, as Christ declared, I have a testimony greater than John's, John 5:36, the apex of divine revelation. If the Old Testament was a true and accurate image of God, and not weak and distorted, there would have been no need for Christ. Thus, Christ is the summit of divine revelation, first upon the earth during his ministry among Israel, and then from his universal pinnacle, far above all heavens, Ephesians 4:10. God, who at many times and in many ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, the express image of his essence, Hebrews 1:1-3. It is Christ alone who is presently the express image of God's essence, or as other translations render it, the exact expression of his nature, an exact representation of his very being, the true image of his substance, the exact representation of his essence, the exact expression of his essence, a perfect copy of God's nature, the exact expression of God's true nature, his mirror image, the perfect representation of God's own being, the exact imprint of his very being, a perfect model of God's nature, the exact image of his person, an impress of his substance, the image that bodies out for us the essential being of God, the express image of his substance, the representative of his essence. Since the revelation of God was advancing and increasing through time, it then becomes vital that we read the scripture backwards, as it were, having a realization of the latest revelation and possessing proper awareness of its former contrast. Therefore, to see God truly for who he really is, we must read all scripture through the lens of his true image, earthly and super heavenly.